Thank you for listening to this audio recording from LimoPlanet 2020 Free the Future. The following talk was presented at LimoPlanet, the Free Software Foundation's annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology. For more information on LimoPlanet, visit limoplanet.org/conference. LimoPlanet is a live conference with speakers who often use visual slides in their presentations. We have only selected talks for this audio feed that do not overly rely on visuals, but if you would like to see a speaker's slides, they are available at media.limoplanet.org. LimoPlanet speakers do not represent the Free Software Foundation. As part of our mission to show how important free software is to everyone, we have speakers talking about their use of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take positions on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedoms of all computer users, LimoPlanet is made possible by thousands of individuals who, like you, donate what they can. To keep this work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to LibrePlanet 2020. My name is Jim Garrett. I'm the room monitor for the Freedom Room. Our next session here is going to be with Sean O'Brien, who's going to speak on GNU Health Embedded, an introduction. And I just wanted to mention that we're going to have a Q&A period at the end. So if you have questions, please write them down in the IRC channel, which is #LibrePlanet_room_freedom, and I'll be monitoring that and then passing the questions on to Sean during the Q&A period. So be thinking of questions, and with that, I will hand it over to Sean.
Hello. So this is an honor to be here again at LibrePlanet remotely, but hey, a little more comfortable, right? Don't have to stand. I am a privacy and cybersecurity researcher at Yale University. I do work for the law school over there in something called Yale Privacy Lab. In the past, I presented on those kinds of topics, talking very strongly about privacy and security and really emphasizing those issues. There's going to be a little bit of that today, but I want to focus on GNU Health and the work that we're doing at PrivacySafe to bring GNU Health to Debian, and also to bring it to new hardware, which is going to be the BeagleBoard BeagleBone AI. So with that, I'm going to share my slides, and we'll get going here. Okay, beautiful. So who am I? Just give you an overview. Please reach out to me with any questions. I'm involved in a lot of different stuff, and there's some crossover, and I like to try to find sort of, I hate to use the word synergy, there's got to be a better word, but you know, I try to find relationships between different projects and sort of link people and projects together if I can. So a lot of folks at LibrePlanet, obviously, or who are watching right now, do interesting and amazing work. I'm always, you know, interested to hear about it and have an open ear. So what is PrivacySafe? Well, we are a company that develops products from FOSS, free software, free and open source software, and open hardware components. That's sometimes called open source hardware. Our products are built on the BeagleBone AI, which is a new upgrade to the BeagleBone Black, which is obviously a very popular board, been around for a very long time. BeagleBone AI is very cool, runs really well, and the team over at BeagleBoard.org, they've done amazing work making it easy to set up and configure. So what we want to do is bring GNU Health to that device and have that be part of the GNU Health embedded project. And even though we're just looking at the BeagleBone AI right now, because of the OSHW, the open source hardware certification, we're also looking at other boards for future hardware targets. That just got a lot more difficult with the supply chain issues that are happening because of the COVID-19 stuff. But, you know, again, if you have recommendations or interest in hacking on other boards, you know, we always have open ears. Okay, so what is GNU Health Embedded? Well, GNU Health itself, right, is a free/Libre health and hospital information system. That's for small organizations, large organizations. It's deployed all over the world, throughout the global south, many other places. And it can run on single board computers, right? Just like pretty much anything these days, you can run GNU Health on a Raspberry Pi in this example, right? So that's the current target, the Raspberry Pi 3. And the team over there at GNU Health Embedded, they develop images based on OpenSUSE, and they've been releasing stuff very often. So the last release was just a couple weeks ago. So that pace is really nice. Support for the Raspberry Pi is huge. So whatever we end up doing with the BeagleBone AI, however that works, obviously we've got two different operating systems. We're talking about two different versions, a GNU/Linux, OpenSUSE on the one hand, and then Debian on the other hand. So there's a lot of ground here that can be very fertile, and there's room for diversity and different approaches. But I mean, the work they're doing is great for the Raspberry Pi, and because that's such a popular platform, it's something that's really important to keep up. So, as I said, the BeagleBone is open hardware. What that means in this case is pretty strict. It's not absolutely perfect, which I'm sure the folks at the FSF will tell us if we go through the process to get the hardware certified or at least audited for freedom by the FSF. But the schematics are available for the BeagleBone AI. All of the block diagrams, all that stuff is available. The software, obviously, the firmware is obviously free software. And there may be some other freedom issues we're not aware of. Obviously, firmware is very complicated. So there are some areas that may be problematic. My understanding is that even if it ships with certain software firmware on the device, even though it's never activated or ever used, like, for example, video drivers, then it could be considered unfree by the FSF. So we'll have to see what happens there. We're talking in this case about using it as a headless unit. So we have no intention of even touching any of that proprietary stuff. Okay, so basically we're building a Debian-based version of GNU Health Embedded. We're targeting the most Libre and privacy-respecting computer we can find. And then we want to bundle that, right? We want to take GNU Health, we want to make it available on the device, and then we want to bundle it with other privacy tech. So we're working on Tor. We're working on some privacy by design protocols called 3nWeb that are really exciting as a backend for our privacy safe appliances generally. So privacy safe devices will eventually branch out past, for example, GNU Health. We'll be doing other things as well and have different editions of the device, right, with different software images tailored for, you know, different industries, different enterprise, and then, you know, consumers as well. So bringing Tor to GNU Health would be huge. Even if, and obviously there's a lot of privacy issues, people are very worried about privacy in healthcare, but even if you're going to say, well, you know, I trust my doctor, I trust my hospital or clinic or whatever, in this case, we can punch through firewalls very easily. Obviously, Tor is very good at that. Being an anonymity network, you know, sender and destination are very hard, if not impossible, to determine, depending on your operational security. So that kind of rigid privacy feature, if we can bring it to this device, we want to do it. Being able to access stuff, especially now where people are quarantined, they're all over the world being isolated. Who knows what networks they're using? Who knows what network limitations are happening? And obviously, we've also seen some huge rounds of censorship in the last couple months, India probably being the largest. And, you know, Tor is a big deal in this case as well for healthcare and getting that information out, sharing information, letting people know what's going on. Okay, so for our OS design choices, right, for the operating system we're building here, we are very much open to feedback. One of the reasons I'm doing this presentation is to try to bring our choices to a very astute and technical crowd, generally speaking, but also people who have strong opinions on, you know, usage, right? What UIs to use, what distros to use, that kind of thing. So please let us know. Starting the conversation is really important. And then if we can sustain a conversation and turn that into action, you know, it's even better, right? So we are using Debian Stretch here. The latest release of that is 9.12. And we're adding in the Turnkey modifications. So if you haven't used Turnkey before, Turnkey is basically pre-packaged software images that now a lot of people deploy in the quote-unquote cloud. And you can also get them as ISOs, run them off DVDs, run them off live USB, etc. And what they've been doing for a while, I want to say 15 years now, is taking either Debian or Ubuntu or both. I believe it's Debian only at the moment. They take those images and they package them for one specific purpose. So if you want a WordPress, you know, setup, you get a turnkey software image and boom, you have it, right? Now that you can deploy this pretty much automatically via all kinds of stuff. We have all kinds of containerization. We have all kinds of, you know, like I said, so-called cloud services. It's very useful to spin things up quickly if you're doing testing. So they've built really nice administrative tools and they have a really nice configuration console that is very easy to bring in and port to Debian for our purposes. So that configuration console is based on Dialog. If you SSH into the machine, right, headless server, SSH into it, you'll get a nice set of menus. And I'll show you with a screenshot in a few minutes what that looks like at the moment for privacy safe. We're also pushing the latest GNU Health packages, which Luis Falcone does a great job of updating on the wiki books for GNU Health, which is the main source of documentation for GNU Health. 3.63 just came out. And then there's a web UI we're interested in as well that might be interesting. I'm especially looking at this because of mobile. We want to see if we can make something responsive and web-based that can also give access to the information, even if it's just a subset of the information in GNU Health. I don't want to go crazy out of scope, but trying to at least prove that we can do it, connect to the GNU Health database and everything, you know, works from sort of a, you know, information transactional point of view, that would be great. Obviously, working on UIs and making them wonderful for mobile is a whole other thing, but maybe we'll get there. I'd like to. So we also need to look at Let's Encrypt config. So with Tor, obviously, you know, this is not really an issue, but if you're not using Tor, connecting to single board computers that you just kind of throw on the network is problematic because you're talking about plain HTTP by default. Or you're talking about a self-signed cert that will not be trusted by most browsers now and may get booted, et cetera, et cetera. So figuring out a way to do that setup with Let's Encrypt is vital. And that's something that also Turnkey has done really well that we're going to make sure we emulate with this. And making sure that easy networking setup is there. The easy networking setup, the BeagleBoard folks have done a lot of the work for. I actually think, and I'm a little biased, obviously, but I actually think that the BeagleBone is easier to set up from that perspective than the Raspberry Pi. And I've done a lot of work on Raspberry Pi devices as well as a ton of other single board computers way back when they used to even be called plug computers. So in my opinion, this new BeagleBone AI is really good for setting up on the network. And I'll get into that in a little bit. In a little while. And then the other thing is we do have a web browser based IDE that ships with the BeagleBone as well. And that's the Cloud9 IDE. Now that's used by all kinds of people, Amazon AWS and everything else. But for BeagleBone, it's been pared down and thrown on these devices. I shouldn't say thrown, it's been implemented well on these devices. And it gives a really nice, rich environment to users out of the box, which is huge, with the command line. So, okay, so here's an example of the dialogue-based interface. So you dial into the server via SSH, you get something like this. We've actually changed a couple of the options since I took this screenshot. But, you know, it just goes to show it's that easy to configure. But the stuff you need for a server generally, right? The time settings, you know, setting up, you know, localization, setting up SSL certs. And then you can even do mail relay if the server goes down or has some other issue, right? So that's one of the things we want to look into with 3N Web. And we're working with 3N Soft, which is the company that develops those set of protocols, to see if we can do that kind of messaging, that kind of alerting of users of all kinds of things with these privacy safe devices. So, you know, getting DDoS, you know, ping somebody via 3N Web, you know, get that update to your phone via the 3N Web app, et cetera, et cetera. It could be really nice to implement these devices and be able to not have to be a seasoned sysadmin, which is huge. Okay, and then also, you know, obviously, and I could hear the virtual bristle when I said that I have an IDE with a command line client in the browser. But this is something we actually want to ship at least for now on what we're calling our development kit versions. Well, you know, it remains to be seen what we do and how easy we make it to turn this on. But generally speaking, I think in a lot of enterprise settings, of course, you would want to have pretty strong restrictions on this. You can, of course, set, you know, password-based access, but doing something a little stronger, making it, you know, a few hoops to jump through or coming up with some ways to do castification and things like that would be really, really nice. So from a security standpoint, that's something we're definitely going to do. Okay, and now I'm going to pause for a second here and actually show you this interface. First, I think I'm going to show you the device it's running off of, which is the cool part. Okay, so here I am sitting in my living room. Here's the BeagleBone right here. You can see those beautiful five LEDs blinking like crazy right now. Basically, that's because I have the Cloud9 IDE open. And I'm going to show you that screen. And it's a really useful interface. If you're not familiar with it, it's a cool thing. And it probably should be implemented more widely. I've really grown used to it and really like it a lot. So, all right. Let's pick. I must have Chrome on here. Yes. Chromium. It's not sharing the screen. Let's try to do this. Maybe I have to share my entire screen in this case. That's okay. Okay. That'll work for now. I don't know why Chromium's not happy, but it's okay. Great. So that should be showing from what I can tell from Jitsi Meet here. This is the Cloud9 IDE. And you've got a window here that you can load various files, execute code. The environment's made to teach people how to be coders, basically. And there's a whole scripting language, ECMA script that the BeagleBone has for doing this kind of stuff. You can do traditional, more JavaScript-y stuff as well. This is just a markdown file that's being loaded by Jekyll, right? So pretty cool stuff. And as you can see, you can load a file, and then you still have a terminal, you know, to do whatever, right? So very, very cool stuff. I don't want to play around too much because I'll be borking my machine, but if you, you know, order one of these from us, if we prepare this for you, or if you do the DIY way of doing it, which we're documenting on our website, then you'll see all this stuff, which is very cool. Okay, so now, Ta-ta-ta. Okay, back to the slides, and let's hope that works. Sweet. Okay, so what are the use cases here? Obviously, I just showed you a developer interface. I showed you the type of interface where you could actually use this for coding education too, which is really nice. In the types of places where I think a small, you know, single board computer is useful, I think education is really, you know, important as well and may be lacking, right? So, you know, having a healthcare device that you can keep records, personal records, and so on privately in your own home, in your own domiciliary unit, as they call it, DU, is really huge. But also you can use the device for all kinds of other stuff. And like I said, if we bring Tor to this thing and make that useful, then it's also now a censorship resistant device as well, which is huge. Okay, but yeah, GNU Health Embedded, the big cases are DUs, like I said, aka homes. They're not always homes. We're starting to see, obviously, with these quarantines that people are getting quarantined all kinds of places. And the DU is really important from a healthcare standpoint. That's the place where the person is living, right? Is spending maybe most of their time, but definitely during a quarantine, most of their time. And it's a place that really has a strong effect on the individual's health. Whether they're aware of it or not, it's indicative of the lifestyle that they're living, whether they're in poverty or not, and those kinds of things. So the DU is huge, and GNU Health has a really nice interface for keeping track of that. Healthcare workers can basically just take photos, put the photos in, tag the GPS location, right, the GPS coordinates, and then just write information about the conditions, which is huge. And that kind of information, I think, is not being tracked enough, especially, you know, in the American healthcare system. I don't think I've ever had a doctor ask me about the conditions I'm living in at home. So, you know. Okay, nursing, obviously, you know, this is a big deal. GNU Health Embedded is a device you can literally fit in your pocket. It's really easy to set up on the network. It's really easy to enter records into in environments where you may not have a traditional internet connection. That's gigantic. And nurses who are traveling, especially from, you know, DU to DU, that's really important. In academia, GNU Health is good for basically low-cost implementation and teaching, in my opinion, but also can be used more broadly in places where they may not have access to, you know, a healthcare records system. Although, of course, we're talking about single-board computers here, you may not want to run a giant enterprise on there, and the GNU Health Embedded site has a big disclaimer saying that, you know, it still is very, very powerful. And as we all know, in the last couple of decades, the computing power of these little mini machines has grown incredibly. So what these things can do is definitely more than what our caveats usually suggest. Obviously, I'm a big fan of that and would promote it being used in academia. We're going to start playing around with this at Yale and see what happens, which is great. Personal health record, this is a no-brainer. Somebody wants to keep track of their health. They want to keep track of all kinds of information. They're diabetic, you know, they want to keep track of their blood pressure and so on and so forth. You can do that. But I think now, right, we're talking about coronavirus, COVID-19. We're talking about a lot of people being isolated. We're talking about not enough tests in places. We're talking about situations where individuals are more likely to get sick, right, especially if they're immunocompromised. They're vulnerable. They may not want to run to the ER, the doctor, hospital, whatever the situation is, and expose themselves, right? Because we're really looking at a serious pandemic here that's going to affect large swaths of the population pretty much everywhere. So having the ability to keep track of what's going on with you, what's going on with your loved ones, that kind of self-care, but also for fitness, right? That's a really useful use case for these devices. And it doesn't require you to have to go to a doctor, pay for anything beyond just having the device running, which is huge. Quarantine populations, we've got a cruise ship here in the photo. folks who are stuck somewhere, having something like this to being implemented would be helpful, especially in cases where the healthcare worker is also being quarantined, right? Either voluntarily or not. And in those situations, right, the internet access is probably non-existent if it's there at all, or it may be extremely discouraged. And then that's another good reason, right, why we want to be able to potentially punch through firewalls with Tor, which is obviously something I want to see. Okay, so logging into the GNU Health Appliance, how is this done? Well, traditional client-server model, right? You've got the server running on the single-board computer in this case. You've got a client on your end. The GNU Health client is based off of something called Triton. It's a little different, and it's packaged separately. It does not have, to my knowledge, right? I've dug pretty hard. official Debian or even unofficial .deb packaging going on right now. Some of the older versions did. This either you build it yourself or you can get a tarball basically that has a precompiled binary and you run that. So I'm going to show you this interface now and I'm going to do the Jitsi magic thing. All right. And it would help if I launched the client before I try to switch to it. We're all learning, right? We're all learning about how to do remote presentations. Okay. So. Ah, man. Okay. Well, once again, I'm going to have to do the entire screen. So I apologize if there's any weird mirroring. But that's fine. The important thing is to show you logging in. So, or show me logging in. So here's the actual login screen. This is filled with demo information. There's a demo database that's pretty easy to configure. I link to it in the presentation. If you start hacking on this stuff, then you definitely want to have the demo database in there so you have, you know, somewhat realistic information in there to play with. So we're going to connect. And yes, it works. Okay. Pop in a password, and bam, there we go. So we now have running off a little mini single board computer. We've got pretty much an entire hospital's worth of technology here. There is so much, at least technology from a software, you know, information standpoint. There's so much you can do. Here's the example of the DU screen. So you can see here, here's a domicile, and here's the information description. This was presumably put in by a hypothetical healthcare worker. Latitude, longitude, information about it, whether it has, you know, actual running water, whether it has sewers, you know, what the sanitation level is and things like that is huge. And then the connectivity, right? Does it have internet? These kinds of things, which we need to think about more holistically, right, as empowerment and for the not just mental health, but the general health of an individual. Information is certainly power in the world we're in, and we've got to get it out there. So internet connectivity is a biggie, and knowing that is really valuable information, which I think from a civic standpoint, a lot of folks could learn from GNU Health as well. There's a ton of other stuff in here. You can pull up the pathology screen, maybe. You can see all the different infectious diseases and so on. The search functionality for a lot of these is pretty good. So if I look up conditions, for example, and I search for coronavirus, right, we'll get a couple examples at the top here. And this is just, you know, sort of diagnosing it, giving it a code, and usually, obviously, linking that to a patient record. You can have all kinds of other information in here, birth certificates, death certificates, stuff that is not tracked enough or it can be hard to, you know, coordinate, or we just don't trust, right? And in this case, you've got some validation here with GNU PG, which is huge, right? So the folks behind GNU Health have been thinking about all this stuff, think about how to validate, make sure we know that things are legitimate, right? Which, do we trust these other systems, these proprietary systems? I don't know. I think we know the virtual answer coming from the Libra Planet crowd. Okay, so I could play around with that all day, and I hope you also will play around with that all day. But let's go back to some other stuff and just kind of round it out, try to bring things back a little more thematically rather than just showing off the software. Okay, so I'm going to just exit out of that. We saw these screens again. Get a copy of the PDF. You can get the PDF either, I'm sure, through the Libra Planet website, but also privacysafe.ai/health. I've got a little blurb on there. I've got the PDF, and I'll be putting up some install scripts and readmes, basically, on how to do this yourself with a BeagleBone. We will not have software images right away. That's been building images is, you know, complex, and we just basically upgraded the software. So doing that right, we are getting a handle on, but we want to make sure we give you what you need to do at DIY style without having to buy a device. But of course, if you want to buy a device, we'll set it up for you, and then you won't have to do that. Okay. So some COVID-19 brainstorming. From my perspective, right, we've got an interface now that you can do a lot more with than just and I shouldn't say just because it's awesome stuff, but you know, health information system. You can now, on this little computer that you are distributing in a anywhere in the world, right? You can now put some open science resources on there. And in a time period where we're having a huge pandemic, there's quite a few good resources out there on the web. The main one that I think is most interesting, and especially for doctors and healthcare workers, is nextstrain.org. They've done a good job of genomically tracking the spread of COVID-19 from testing and putting it on a timeline and a map and everything else. I'll show you that in a few seconds. Quarantine updates, right, for people, giving them information that they need to know. In my neck of the woods, things are changing very quickly. New Haven, Connecticut, things are going to change very quickly in New York, if they haven't already, by the time I read the news here. And they're obviously in places like Italy and so on, where there's complete lockdown. This is, you know, something that you need to know. You need to know what the rules are, what the situation is, and really try to assess the threat, right? I know there was a video earlier today of someone in Tel Aviv being tackled by police pretty brutally for violating quarantine. That's not the kind of situation you want to end up in. And of course, you know, staying home is best. Localized information, we can customize these things, right? If we know that there's a situation and we can get these devices out, we can deploy them, localize them for the situation, especially if it doesn't spread into a global pandemic, you know, we can be part of stemming that tide, which is huge. It'll give statistics, right? Because we can link to this stuff. We can just basically make it really easy to have a nice guide through that Cloud9 interface or some other web-based interface, or even some other delivery method where we're downloading data, right? So that it's stored offline. These are all brainstorming things, by the way. Some of them are obviously easier to do, like putting a URL somewhere to click on in Ahrefs, but other things are going to be more difficult. But I think we need to think creatively about what's going on right now and how we can do our part to stem the tide. So that ties in nicely with flatten the curve. Flatten the curve being the idea that rather than seeing a huge ramp up in cases, which can be disastrous, obviously, for societies and people, we can slow the number of cases into sort of a bump, right? A hilly graph rather than something that looks like a skyrocketing exponential curve. And by doing that, you know, you can stem the tide a little bit. You can save lives, of course, give time, which is the biggest issue here, to people to be able to roll out solutions, hopefully roll out a vaccine. Right. Which, you know, fingers crossed on that, that doesn't take more than a few months or a year here. But having that kind of advice for individuals is really huge. You know, don't go out for St. Patrick's Day, you know, that kind of stuff in the United States. I've seen a lot of it already, and it's really unfortunate. So people want their autonomy. I get it. But we have to really think about societal public health needs right now. Definitely. Okay. And then just some challenges and food for thought. So from a development standpoint, which a lot of folks, of course, are going to be asking about, BeagleBone can be set up really quickly. It's a Wi-Fi access point out of the box, which is great. It creates its own mini network, and you connect to that. You do the initial config to connect to your Wi-Fi, right? Or you can plug in via Ethernet if you need to, but obviously Wi-Fi is preferred by most folks. And then you never really have to touch it again. And now you can bring that device over to a cafe or whatever, in this case, a DU somewhere, somebody's home that you're treating them. And now you can connect to that network. And you connect to that network and just set it up. It's very, very easy in a way that the Raspberry Pi, in my experience, has not been. Even with Raspbian, which has some really nice command line, you know, headless interfaces, much like the turnkey Linux thing that we're doing, turnkey.gnu/Linux. But yeah, so that stuff is not available on OpenSUSE. Right now, they're just using the display for those builds. So there's kind of there's going to be a contrast between the way these devices are deployed and where we go is going to be interesting. We'd like to move towards containerization. Using Docker or, you know, LXD would be really nice. Security, you know, stability, etc. Making installs and upgrades a lot easier. Swapping out, swapping in containers would be much, much better. So hopefully we'll get there. And right now the Docker images for GNU Health are not maintained. Hopefully we can work on that. And then the addressing and certification problem, which we talked a little bit about. But you've got to be able to talk to the thing. You've got to be able to set up TLS if you need to. And, you know, obviously we want to do Tor. The challenge there is actually going to be getting the GNU Health client using Tor more so than getting the server to use .onion addressing, which is not trivial, but we've already, you know, done. So we'll see how that goes. That's something we're going to keep working on. Okay, I want to put some resources up here, BeagleBoard and GNU Health. Get the PDF, click on these things, play around with it, especially if you want to do the DIY stuff. We'll also be helpful in ways that we can, providing information. Please feel free to reach out. Creating a nice little community around this would be awesome and would be really helpful to everybody involved, to Privacy Safe, to GNU Health, to, you know, really sort of helping us sponsor the work to do the bringing GNU Health to the BeagleBone on Debian. And I want to say thank you to all the folks who brought me here, basically. Luis Falcone, who does incredible work and has been spearheading this for a long time. I also recommend, if you want to look through the Libre Planet archives, look at his speech, I believe, 2 years ago. But maybe last year. But anyway, very, very good stuff. Jason Kridner, BeagleBoard.org team, very helpful, has really allowed this to move much more quickly than if I just picked the thing up and tried to play with it myself. So yeah, that team has been wonderful. The folks who do GNU Health Embedded and are doing that packaging are great. Everybody who supported Privacy Safe, and it allows us to be able to do this work, which in turn, of course, helps GNU Health. So I want to just thank everybody, and I'm going to show one quick thing, and then I'll open up the floor to questions. I don't know if we have folks in the room, but if we do, that would be awesome. Just really quickly, I want to show here. Yeah. Did it work? All right, I'm back. Can't keep me out. I'm glad that happened at the end of the session. Okay, good. I am going to try to just share this really quickly. Do we have any questions?
I just got one question, I think.
Let's do that first, so I don't bork the room again.
Okay, so one question, how can we recommend to our local public health people in our own communities GNU Health? Or
sure. So I think it depends, of course, where you are, obviously. GNU Health is a tougher sell in places where there are healthcare behemoths with massive proprietary databases, and they're well coordinated and so on and so forth. I think in rural communities, especially, that's in the United States and elsewhere, GNU Health and this solution, GNU Health Embedded, is really appealing. We see a situation where there isn't even the tax base in a lot of these places to pay for any of this stuff. So what are you going to do? So having something cheap, right, that you can deploy, that is featureful, is privacy respecting, that you can, you know, pick up and carry and replace easily, is really, really useful there. And I think trying to sell based on those features, so to speak, is the best way to get the message across. Unfortunately, I am aware of how much control there is in healthcare, and I have done a lot of trying to get this into actual hospitals myself in the last couple months. I'm talking about doing pilots and so on and so forth. I myself have not been successful, but the GNU Health people have been. I recommend you take a look at the recent conference that they had in December. There's a lot of folks who went there who were, you know, obviously implementing this stuff on the ground. We hope to get there, but it's going to be a bit of a struggle, at least in my backyard. But, you know, maybe my backyard is not where you start. So I guess that's part of my advice as well. You know, I'm in a situation where we have the Yale New Haven Health System owning almost all the hospitals in the entire state of Connecticut, and the way in which they handle their data, et cetera, is not going to be very amenable to this device or to GNU Health in general. But I think things are changing, right? We're seeing a massive change in other ways in our world, especially with the coronavirus pandemic here. And I do think that there's going to be opportunities to use this stuff. So that's not really a perfect answer, but, you know, try to sell based on the features where we have the strongest strengths, which are definitely, you know, obviously the free software, liberatory stuff, the portability, the ease of implementation, and low cost or no cost in some cases. So
we just have 2 minutes. Do you have your little thing to
yeah, I just wanted to show here because it's so neat. Let me see. I'm going to have to share my entire screen again, but then that actually is fine. So if I talk to Privacy Safe and I go to id.html here, that's talking to the BeagleBone. And basically, we've got this intro page here, but this could have anything. The interface could be anything, right? And you can have a set of resources that you're now shipping, right, with this device that go beyond just the stuff that GNU Health is offering. I have this example, the Nextstrain open data, and it just opens right here in the browser. I'm going to refresh just in case because I don't know what I just did there. Yeah, we'll get there. All right. Let's try that again. Come on. I'm either clicking on it wrong or something else is going on. I don't know. I'm not going to play with it because I've had enough issues today. But I do recommend that this site, Nextstrain, you folks take a look at. It is really interesting. They have tons of data. They've got situation reports every day. And they've got massive data sets here. So if you're a data geek, you know, this is a big deal. A lot of this is beyond my realm of understanding, but look at these graphics, right? And you can actually, you know, play through timelines of spread, which is, you know, extremely interesting stuff. Yeah. So I guess I'll just leave it with that. I do want to think more with this pandemic about ways that we can use data in privacy respecting, but also powerful ways. So.
Okay, well, I think that's all the time we have. So thank you so much for presenting, and thanks for joining us here on Libre Planet.
Thank you.